In a lot of ways, the guy is a typical member of the noble elite. He comes from a family of old, what are called old service gentry, namely landed nobles and serf owners who receive their land in return for service to the state. He was educated at Moscow University, the really best place for a broad-ranging, what we would now call liberal arts education. He then did what a young member of the elite would naturally do. He had joined an elite guards regiment, the Izmailovsky Guards Regiment, generally a place where you would go and you'd serve in the military, become an officer, and decide what to do next. When Catherine the Great came to the throne, he was selected because of his education, because of his high birth, as a secretary to help with the legislative commission, this commission designed to think about a new codification and a modernization of law. And his main role in this is rather interesting. His job was to record the discussions for posterity, in particular the discussions of a special commission that was set up to study conditions among what was already called the middle class. He also went to the big general discussions as well. And through this role, he learned a lot about what life was really like out there in Russia beyond his own class, or even what little he knew about the lives of lower class people, being a serf owner or the son of a serf owner himself. And this knowledge much affected how he would behave and think later. Now, the next step was less common, though it was a step that was increasing in the 18th century among nobles, precisely because of Catherine the Great's decision to maintain the decision of her husband, Peter III, to free nobles from obligatory state and military service. Rather than continuing in the army, where he could have made a fine officer, rather than entering state service, clearly the path he had begun with his service in the legislative commission, he decided to retire from public service, or at least that formal old-fashioned style of public service, and devote himself to something else, a different type of service, namely literary pursuits as a publisher, a printer, an editor, as a writer. Starting in 1769, he established a series of rather influential and controversial satirical journals. And he directed the criticism in these journals at all sorts of vices in public and private life, though he was generally quite careful to avoid naming names. But they often were very concrete stories he knew about, that he was writing about. His main target were landowners, his own class, and in particular people within that class who were boastful about their aristocratic status, but were in fact of no use to society. This is a sort of rationalistic critique of the nobility. They should do something useful. They should serve the good. But also criticized nobles who were cruel to their peasants. Here was what might be described as a moral critique. Not only should you do something good, you should be a good person. For example, he criticized nobles for their backwardness, their boorish behavior, their uncultured manners, their debauchery. He accused them also of growing fat, as he put it, on the bloody sweat of the peasants. And he showed, as really had never been showed before in a public way, the suffering of peasants, and he showed it with empathy. In one piece he wrote, and remember, this is just before the Pugachev rebellion would make clear how angry peasants were. In one piece he wrote, he presented his readers with a really striking description of, in his words, a completely ruined village, described as, in his words again, an abode of weeping, groaning under a cruel tyrant. He also combined praise of Catherine II, who was in many ways his patron, with very delicate, light-hearted criticism. He didn't dare engage in any serious criticism of Catherine the Great, making fun, for example, of, as he put it, middle-aged ladies who didn't know how to properly write Russian, an obvious reference to the German empress. But the point was still clear. No one, not even the empress, though one had to be careful here, was above reproach.